Okay, let's talk about missing data. I think the biggest mistake that people make with missing data is that they don't anticipate that they'll be missing data. And especially in research, that's a big problem. Investigators and research assistants and so forth sometimes think that they'll be able to answer every question on every form. But that's not the case. I mean, we really need to prepare and plan for missing data. There will be missing data, regardless of all of our efforts to avoid it. So before data collection begins, you want to determine how missing data will be recorded, how it will be entered, how it will be represented in the data management system. Some of the possibilities for coding missing data are to have special missing data values. So, for example, you could have not applicable. You could actually have that on the form as a response. So, like, if you're asking about pregnancy, you could have yes, no, not applicable, and you would expect all the male patients to have NA ticked. Another example is when we're talking about adherence to medications. I mean, if a patient is not taking any medications, then that question is really not applicable. So you could have a response category, not applicable. Another category would be not available. If a variable is added to a questionnaire after the first revision, then you might want to code those records that were collected, those data that were collected prior to when that variable was added, as not available. Instead of just leaving it as missing, you may want to say it's missing because it was not on the form at the time. Another example is even sometimes machinery breaks and things. So if the scale is not working if a clinic is without a scale for a week, you may want to have a special category for saying that the data were not available as opposed to just leaving a blank for the weight. Unknown is kind of an interesting, it's not really missing data. I mean, it's known to be unknown. So, like, if you ask somebody about the HIV status of their partner, they may not be able to tell you whether they're positive, negative, or negative. So unknown is a valid response. I mean, it's actually the response that you get from the patient. So it's a good idea to think about whether or not you need an unknown when you're designing data collection forms. And it's also, you may also want to have unknown and not available. I mean, you could have multiple reasons for missing data, and you could have multiple reasons for one concept. Refusal to answers. Sometimes patients are hesitant to answer questions about stigma or about family matters. So you may want to put on the form that a checkbox to indicate that the patient refused to answer, because that's important information, as opposed to just leaving that item totally blank. It might be important to know that the patient refused, as opposed to the data was not gathered. And then the true missing is the question was actually skipped, that the item was never asked, and so a response was never given. So trying to decide, I mean, you're going to choose different ways of coding for different types of variables. And I think this is where you really need to work with the research investigator or the clinician, whoever is interested and the statistician as well, is ever interested in working with the data that they get from these data collection forms to figure out how much effort should be put into coding the reason why data are missing, okay? And you're going to make different choices for different variables. Does that make sense? Okay. So you want to be, you need, when you're planning for missing data, you want to be able to understand how missing data will be managed in the analysis to help determine how much information should be gathered about the missing data. So in addition to, you know, getting input from the clinicians and the researcher themselves, the analyst should be involved so you know how it's going to be dealt with. There are different types of missing data. And I hope I can explain this. So missing completely at random means that the probability of missing data on variable Y is unrelated to the true value of Y or any other variables in the data set. So here we're talking about at the point that the statistician gets the data and there's no they're missing data and it's not been coded as unknown, it's not been coded as patient refused, they have no idea, it's just missing. Null values, missing data, okay? So missing completely at random is data that where the probability of the missing data is not related to that particular variable or any other variable in the system. So for example, if you have a flood in the building and it wipes out all the forms for a specific day in clinic, that is not related to the patients that came to clinic that day, it's not related to the clinicians that were collecting data, it's not related to the patient's severity of a disease. It's not related to anything, right? It's a natural disaster. So that is missing completely at random. Okay, is that clear? Okay. So then we have missing at random. And this is where the probability of a missing data on variable Y is unrelated to Y only after you adjust for some other variable. So another way to look at this is to say that the missingness on variable Y is related to other variables. Okay. So for example, sometimes if a patient is really sick, a clinician may not draw blood for routine labs or for study-specific labs because the patient is just too sick to give blood that day, okay? So the lab results that you would have gotten from that patient that day are dependent on the fact that the patient was so sick that the clinician couldn't draw the blood, okay? So that's a situation where the clinician or the research assistants are making decisions based on the patient's status that may affect the actual data that's in the system, the reason why they didn't draw it. So why could be white blood cell count? Well, you're going to have a really high white blood cell count if you're sick, right? I think. I got any clinicians in here? No. So this is going to be a problem, right? I mean, because if the clinicians fail to draw blood on all those patients who are sick, then you may not see any high white blood cell counts in the database. All those data will be missing. So that's a situation where the missing is at random. Some clinicians may decide, some clinicians may not decide to draw the blood on sick patients. So this one becomes a little more tricky to work with when you're doing the analysis. But the most tricky one is the not missing at random. So this means that the probability of missing data on Y is dependent on the value of Y. So if you're asking a group of patients what their income is, and you know that those who make a higher income may be less inclined to divulge their income, then you're going to have missing data in places where in that higher income bracket more than anywhere else. Okay? So how do we document missingness, missing data? What are the different ways? I mean, one way is to embed the missing codes and or the missing variables in the data set or in the data collection forms. And I talked about this a little bit. If you actually put on the form a checkbox for not applicable, patient refused, then that information about why that item is missing would be in the database, embedded with the record for that specific patient on that specific visit. And there are pros and cons to this. The pros would be that information is permanently associated with that variable, and it's immediately available for analysis. It reduces the need to go back and relook at the data. If you go to do a study and you have a lot of missing data, you know, sometimes they'll ask you to go back to the charts and try and identify the reason for missing. Whereas if you already had the reasons listed on the form, then you might not need, then there would be less, there would be more information in the system already, and you would know why those data are missing and would not need to go back to the charts. The cons are that it takes up a lot of digital physical space, and it increases the time needed to complete the forms. So there are choices to be made about what, you know, selecting the best way to collect missing data or to collect information about missing data. The second method is providing an explanation in a separate metadata document. So, for example, if a variable was added to a questionnaire after 1 year into a study, then of course all the data for that variable would be missing prior to that date. And you wouldn't necessarily have to go into the system and insert a specific code, or you could insert a specific code for all those, but you could also have another file that contains meta information and say that contains the information about those, about the fact that that variable is not available prior to a certain date. So the pros are that it provides a global explanation of the missing data. It requires minimal digital and physical space. But the cons are that it eliminates the ability to code subject-level data. It tends to get lost and separated from the file. I mean, it requires extra effort in maintaining the link with the actual data file. So the benefits of documenting missingness is that it informs the quality control reporting. You're not gonna send an error report or a quality. You're not gonna generate a cleanup query on a variable that was added to a system, you know, for at a certain date for all the patients that were enrolled prior to that date before that variable was available. So you really need to know about the missingness. So it's a good idea to document what's going on with the missingness there. It allows for full disclosure in publications and presentations of data. One of the biggest hurdles in getting data published is missing data, actually. You know, you work out an analysis, you work out a project, a concept proposal, and then you get down to it and you keep having to eliminate patients or visits because there's too much missing data. So if you have information about the missingness of those data, you have a better chance of getting things published because you can explain why the data are missing, and that's usually more acceptable. Some statistical analysis methods depend on the different types of missing, so they use one method if it's missing completely, if the data are missing completely at random versus missing at random. So it's good to know, it's good to be able to identify what cases you have. And it's useful for methodological research on related to missing data. So the statisticians, missing data is a huge problem, and so if the statisticians get any information they can on missing data, they can adjust their methods and develop new methods for handling situations in similar cases. So some procedures for minimizing missing data. In the clinic or in your setting where you're actually completing the data collection forms, if somebody can review those forms while the study subject or while the patient is still in the clinic, you can actually identify some of those missing values and fill them in before the patient walks out the door. And we like to make this a part of the clinical staff and training and oversight. So at the point of data entry, you can prevent entry of forms that have missing key variables. As I mentioned earlier, you don't want a record going into the database without a proper patient ID or visit date. And you can also, for other non-key fields, you can alert the data entry clerk about missing variables. So what we do sometimes is set up a system that, you know, the data entry clerk enters the data, and then a screen pops up and says, you didn't enter anything for question number 5. And the data entry clerk can double check and the form and compare, make sure that there is no response for 5, or they can go back and enter it. Okay, so what I thought we could do now is I have an example of a data collection form. So after talking about, you know, good practices for developing, designing data collection forms, I thought that we could take the example that I have and critique it. So let me see where that is. Should I pause this or stop it?